Hey dudes, two quick things before we get into the show. Go grab tickets to my Melbourne International Comedy Festival show, 5th of April to the 20th of April. You can get tickets at alexwhitecomedy.com or follow me on Instagram, Whitebait Online there, and grab some tickets. Going to be a lot of fun. And secondly, subscribe to the Patreon. We love doing the Patreon. It's so much fun. We've got some crazy ideas cooking up. Yeah, you're going to absolutely love it. So get on board, grab the Patreon subscription online and through Spotify or through Patreon, $5 a month, and you get two bonus episodes, and they're an absolute blast. Thanks, team. Enjoy the episode. Trying to make a living, working hard to get to
heaven, where I come from. Oh, yeah. Hello and welcome along to the Community Notice Board.
Hello! Welcome to another episode of Community Notice Board, a podcast about suburbs we grew up in, local landmarks, hometown heroes, and coming-of-age tales. But this week, we are not talking about a place again. We are broadening our horizons into communities. Oh, yeah. And we have got here not only a very funny comedian in his own right, very funny social media video generator, but also one of the prime...
Is that the official title?
Yes. One of the prime athletes of the comedy scene. Mm. Freddie McManus is in studio.
Fred, I love that video you generated the other week. So
thank you, brother. It's actually content. we're not sure if it's a video or a photo. But yeah, I'm generating left and right. Pleasure to be
left
back,
foot,
boys.
Right foot, yeah.
Damn right. But, yeah. I have
Would you call yourself the ultimate sportsman in Sydney comedy?
I would say I'm by far the most enthusiastic, and I think that goes a long way. We were just talking off mic about work ethic in the comedy community and how thin on the ground it really is.
Yeah.
So really just running after a moving ball is putting me on the podium.
Top five at least.
But you'd say skill level as well, right? Because you pick up like a lot of sports. And
yeah, I mean...
Who do you think you could flog?
George Pettifer.
Did it. Not who does everyone think
Hey mate, you gotta warm me up. I have been on this podcast before talking about places I grew up in and places where I went to university, but it's great to be here finally talking about home, guys.
Yeah,
that's
beautiful. Wow.
So the topic is social sports and all the wacky stories that go within.
And just before we kick off, speaking of George Pettifer, I saw him on the bus the other day. I didn't realize he was on my bus. We were both coming home from work, and I was sitting there and just, you know, absorbed in whatever podcast I was listening to, And the stop before mine is when he gets off, and I feel a little tap on the shoulder. I turn around, I'm like, George, how you going, man? Have a quick hello as he walks out. And it's very funny because George wears a suit to work. Like, he's got the full blazer and everything. And then he gets off, and I didn't know what to do, so I gave him like a little one, like a salute thing. And he just, George Pettifer, a full suit to an entirely packed bus, does his little dance. Fucking made me laugh so much.
You only got fired for that as well.
Sounds unbelievable. He's just like, you salute me, I have to dance.
That was a good Pettifer.
Thank you.
Wow. It was like he was in the room. I'm saluting. I can't, my body.
Yes, we are talking social sports. This is going to be, I think, an ongoing series.
Yeah.
We with Fred played for a while. Some of us still have aspirations to keep playing.
Yeah. I was going
to
say
a little five-a-side. Well, what would you call it? It's not futsal. I don't know what we.
It is futsal.
Call. Futsal.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
It's futsal, and five-a-side is generous given the numbers for this coming Monday. Yeah. I will say that might be me and Ben Squires kicking a ball to each other for an hour.
We have done me, you, and one other person for a whole hour because we were so unwilling to cancel in like the early days.
Yeah.
Where we're like, people might just show up, and then we just kind of had training ground kick around.
So I think my understanding is that you're saying we have that dog in us.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes,
I believe that's the term. Yeah, the funny thing is we ran over as well. It's like, you're meant to do an hour. And there was like a full like comp ready to start.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the semi-finals that have been built towards the whole season. It's just me and Jamie.
No, guys, we're practicing free kicks.
Yeah, guys. With no keeper, and we haven't hit the target in 47 minutes.
They're just being like, Ronaldo, and then hitting it over the fence.
That is one very annoying thing about social sports is, and I get it because, you know, you've paid your money and you've got to go on time, but when you're wrapping up a game, and this happened to us at Pickleball yesterday, the people who just come and sit and just stare at you like for the last 5 minutes. You're like, dude, I'm going to leave when it clicks over to 7. You don't have to like fucking sit there and
chewing. Almost did. Chewing. One of them was in a wheelchair and chewing literally so motioned. You don't have to wheel. You
don't have to. Turn around, like, give me 1 minute. And he wheeled the guy out of the venue.
So you're telling me you insulted Australian of the Year Dylan Orcutt. Unbelievable, mate.
But we did play pickleball yesterday.
Yeah, pickleball is so fun. So this is the new one, Fred, if you want to get involved in some pickleball.
Yeah.
Have you heard of it?
Fastest growing sport in North America.
Okay, well, where are we, mate? That's very interesting. So you play the two of you.
And
my father-in-law,
Adrian, shout out!
Wow,
yeah. And he's like the captain. He knows all the rules. It's quite, I wouldn't say it's complex rules, but there's subtle variations to tennis.
Every
and
time I bring in
tennis.
A new person, he's like, "Did they watch the video?" And I'm like, "I haven't even watched the video."
But we did three games and round robin,
and Alex was on the winning team for all three of those games.
Well. Drew was too busy fucking harassing him.
Yeah, we got a few points off while Drew was.
What are you waiting? Your parking spot outside, mate.
I wouldn't class that as a moral victory. I think, regardless of how many games you won, I think spiritually you lost a great deal. Unbelievable.
But a lot of
the
fun.
The fact that you wouldn't include that detail is so funny to me.
It was. Well, he did it to me. He went like, and then he's like, oh, like this.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, came out. Yeah, it's like, how do you reverse these things? Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Sorry. I just thought of a joke I'm not going to say. Continue.
That's podcasting.
Well, pickles
are
vegetable.
What a tantric podcast this is. It's all just little teasers. Alex White, oh, Willy Wonty. You've opened episodes by going knock, knock, and then not speaking for the rest of the episode. We're like, who's there?
Sign up to the Patreon.
We save that for the Patreon, yeah.
Five-a-side rules, Fred. Like, you've played in five-a-side comps before, or is this your first non? Because there's like, I guess there's like levels of it. Obviously, there's like juniors and stuff like that, and then there's just pure social, but 11-a-side football.
Yes,
and that can still be pretty chaotic and muck aroundy and stuff. But what we play is, you know, basically you could never have played before, and you turn up and you swap in and everything like that. Is that? Did you used to play like that when you were back in the UK, or is this the first time you've sort of been?
I will say, as an adult, I've only ever played in the spirit of everyone just show up and we'll try and make the best game we can.
Yeah.
We've literally like looked over our shoulder at some of these old guys who are still playing with a white hot intensity and competitive spirit.
Yeah.
And it's one of the more off-putting things I've ever seen.
It's very
We played
lame.
With them once.
And do you know what? Like, obviously, it's great to get them out of the house. Like, their wives must be, I don't know, what a thrill for the ladies. I'll say that. But I probably shouldn't say this, but I resented how bad they were given their attitude. It's like they also sucked.
Yeah. Oh,
well, like, I think it was like one of them was insanely good and he was the most competitive
one.
But
he was also like 10 years younger than him. I felt like he was playing, it was a bit of bully ball from the great man.
Yeah.
Where it's literally like this one guy's like warming up his groin and we're in the second half.
Oh, man. The best was, it was me and Freddie, and there's this old guy. I can't remember his name.
But I don't know if we're going
to. Yeah, we don't need to say it, but he was like 6 years old. And like he was on our team, and he was like, mate, I'm known for my back heels. And then just proceeded to like, every time he got the ball, would back heel it to nobody at a pace of about, I don't know, half a mile. Well,
it was interesting in particular when he took a free kick by walking backwards towards the ball. Just punting it as hard as he could.
There is nothing worse than the combination of being bad and being extremely serious.
Yeah.
Whereas like someone who turns up and is really good but just is like super chill, like it's like great, you know what I mean? But that I hate that. I first ever comp I played in Sydney when I moved to Sydney, I played for Lane Cove, whatever they were called, and it was like there was all these late 30-year-old guys who were so serious about it, and they were like competing to be in the first team and the run on. They all wanted to be striker. They all wanted to be in the starting 11, and there was politics and bitchiness about play and about like, I'm the striker, and this guy like stealing the penalty, like the penalty, and like, my penalty. And I was like, this sucks so much. I hate these losers because we're in the sixth division.
Hey, did he score that pen?
No, bro, I don't remember actually, but I remember
he penenked it.
Yeah. But like that, and we're in Newcastle, it's just your mates. It's like this bloke's filling in and he's never played before, and it's so much more fun that way. Even if you're shit, even if there's good players on the team.
Oh,
I just can't stand that the rigorous rule set that they push on stuff.
Yeah. I will say the documentaries that have come out about great teams and athletes have done this no favors whatsoever. Mm-hmm, where it's like, we get it. We all watched The Last Dance over COVID, but none of us are that caliber of athlete where we can carry on like such a cunt.
Yeah,
20 years later, they're like, yeah, but the results speak for themselves. It's like, I can't even remember like the last game I played what the result was.
I mean, I famously watched the George Best documentary after my first futsal.
I'm so glad you brought this up. I go, so Drew was one of the people who was new to the sport.
Yes.
And I know him to be very passionate about all the other sports he enjoys and sort of partakes in.
He's pickleball,
the most recent example, where he will hurdle over some of the more clear social barriers.
Put just a stick to get in the spokes of this guy. Yeah. So left yourself wide open there, buddy.
So we've played for maybe a couple of weeks, and Drew has sort of alluded to the fact that he's been doing research in his own time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's the anti-vaxxer in him. He goes home does his own research. And he comes back, and I just remember, like, we're getting ready to start the game, and I just hear him whisper behind me, George Best, gone too soon. And I go, mate, you're too right there. He goes, oh, God, just wish I could have seen him play. It's like he was dead before you were born.
So that was a documentary. I think also the week after, we saw Drew do that spin move that George Best was famous for 45 times
and
in
then,
one hour.
And then
hour
smoke
game.
40 cigarettes.
Yeah.
What, spin over and faint from alcoholism? I did see this on Twitter. A guy posted, he said that he'd joined an amateur football five-a-side team for fun, and he got handed a hilarious 14-page rule book, which he was sent, which outlined the rules, and it was issued. This, again, is a five-a-side social team in England, and the draconian guide was issued by the team's director of football.
it's just a guy called Kev who plays football manager.
And Kev's got like a James Cameron director's chair when you show up.
So it had a list of series of rules, regulations, and punishments
not
for
even
playing
a manager.
In the team. 14 pages. So suspensions of up to, for some indiscretions, 32 weeks are imposed.
Oh, my God.
It's like a pregnancy term. That's unbelievable.
So this is rule. These are rules. This isn't the rules of futsal.
This is
like
the how to play.
Social rules.
Exactly. So,
code of conduct.
That's it.
It's either a stitch up or this guy is like severely autistic, the guy writing it, because some of it is just unbelievable. Basically, like if you question any of the decisions, you'll be given another 3 weeks ban. Basically, before the game, CTTs, captain team talks, take place 5 minutes before kickoff. Players who don't arrive on time for the CTT don't understand the importance of the tactical side of the game and will receive a mandatory 3-week suspension.
Sounds like Dante.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to play some football today?
Who the guy on sound is playing, Robin Thicke.
Oh my God, yeah.
And other stuff like basically if you wear a hat or a scarf during the team talks, you get suspended. 3 weeks for withdrawing after selection. This is very Dante-ish. 32 weeks where if you just don't turn up without giving any notice, you're banned for 32 weeks.
Can I just run it past you, boys? What does week 31 look like? Are you getting back in shape? Yeah, are you excited? So. Like, yeah. I don't know. It kind of feels like you're coming back from a meniscus tear with these bands. You're like, okay, I've got to start ramping up. I'm playing a bit of 2-on-2, playing a bit of pickleball.
Yeah, so we've got 52
weeks in the year.
So it's over 6 months. Like, that is almost a year's ban for just what you could be a fucking.
And also, can you repeat
the bender on the way there?
Can you repeat the appeal system whereby if you appeal the decision, the ban just gets
longer?
Yeah,
that's right. If you question any of the decisions, you get another 3 weeks.
Is he the fucking principal from Ferris Bueller?
I don't know. There's all these different things.
And if a wheelchair guy shows up at the end of the game, get out of there.
There's a very great little detail where it's got foul and abusive language is like 3 weeks banned if you use foul abusive language. However, it says here the kickoff after each goal, there's a 30-second break where each team and captain and keeper can perform a post-mortem, and foul and abusive language is allowed in this time.
Oh, that is... I don't mind that rule.
Yeah, and... there's like all these real weird details about like time and like 29 minutes, we have to do this, 32 minutes and all this stuff. And the one of the other great parts is before you sign up, you need to fill out a form, and it's got name, age, favorite position, left or right
doggy
foot.
I knew that was coming.
I saw the cogs.
To be fair, I thought he was going to say 69. That's the only detail I got wrong.
Jamie's hand, and we both slowly nodded. And my eyes glazed over, and it was like warm water washing over me as I saw the little lead into the mic.
Do you think like you could say favorite position at any time and just Drew like twitching and like veins coming out of his...
Imagine Drew reading 14.
And Drew, I will say, that's 32 weeks for you, mate. I was going to say, Drew, it was worth it, brother.
You can come back to the pod in November.
Drew's like, yeah, he goes through all these ridiculous rules about wearing a hat, and Drew gets a favorite position. He's like, he'll love this.
Are we going to find out
the soup Nazi thing? You know,
are we going to find out the guy who wrote this was Danny Benson?
And then it's got how fit you are for your age, 1 to 10, 1 total slob, 5 average, 10 A1 shape, and this is my favourite one. How many keepy uppies can you do with 3 attempts in the back garden? Your best score, 1 to 100. So this guy is just
What if I'm at 101, 102?
Oh, there you go.
32 weeks. You're out. You went over your allotted keeper.
What's a keepy uppy?
Oh, it's like kick the ball.
You
wouldn't have seen George do many of those in the docos.
He doesn't keep a downy.
Excellent work from you, Alex.
Thank you, Fred. Thanks.
Gold star, dude.
A couple other very little silly stories, which we can maybe get into a bit of indiscretion. So this is a separate story, but I love this one. It's about it was an article I read about the quickest red card that's ever been recorded. Right, so there's a lot of stuff.
Is this professional or Sunday League?
This is like, it's got to be some sort of noted game, right? Yeah. I don't know if this is technically, and it might be amateur. I think in the UK they have like under the FA pyramid, but they're still like referees, right? It's not like some bloke's mate, right? Yeah. So, because there was all these things about like most of the things were like, you know, 15 seconds in. Punch up, like double footed challenge.
Man, I hope
and all
this
stuff.
Is not the same guy I've got, but I hope it's related to it.
Well, this guy. Well, it's just a very quick little silly story about a guy, and it was the quickest recorded send off ever. 2 seconds into a game, Cross Farm Park Celtic guy striker Lee Todd. So basically, they're lining up for the game. The referee is like, "All right, you know, no rough challenges, keep it, whatever, no swearing, whatever." Blows his whistle. Lee Todd goes, "Fuck me, that was loud." Red card.
I think I can beat that. I know a 1 second sending off at a game I played in where the referee went, "Okay, guys, get into position."
Well done, Andrew
got into his favorite, if you know what I mean. And you were straight off. It was actually 2 yellows in the space of 1 second.
Did you have...
Well, no, in that case, it leads into a little bit of a longer story, but this is an actual footballer. You might have heard of him, you might not have. It's from a newspaper that I will not name, so I'll name the reporter. Her name's Etienne Fermi. Yes, we don't say that's the newspaper. But this is the story of a player called Carlos Kaiser. Otherwise known as the greatest. Yeah, yeah, that's doggy stuff. Carlos Kaiser, otherwise known as the greatest footballer to have never actually played a game. What? So he's a 60-year. Now he's 60 years old. He's Brazilian. He charmed his way to a 13-year career in professional football. And if you go on Wikipedia, you can see he moves from team to team. And you know how, like, in Wikipedia, it'll say, like, appearances and goals?
Mm.
It's 13 years, 0000000000. It's awesome. So he had a 13-year professional career, got paid to play football despite possessing little ability, from charming mafia bosses to sleeping with over 1,000 women. This maverick is still a legendary figure in Rio de Janeiro.
How is he sleeping with them?
Well, I'll let Drew feel that.
69.
Also, I was going to say, at a club for a year, 0 appearances. That sounds like Drew at football last year. A lot of 6 beers deep. Yeah, I'm coming back.
A lot of oysters on the balcony for old days.
It's just you and Carlos Kaiser linking arms as you shuck oysters.
This guy actually could, if we go into it, he might be Drew's football idol. Mm-hmm. So he was nicknamed the Kaiser not because of any like on the pitch hard man abilities. It was just because he kind of looked like Franz Beckenbauer, the famous German footballer who was also nicknamed Kaiser. So the so-called striker was released just after 6 months with Mexican side Puebla as a teenager. So he returned to Brazil, and then he befriended a bunch of international Brazilian footballers like Gaucho, Carlos Alberto, and Ricardo Rocha. He became a regular on the Rio de Janeiro party scene, and he used his charm while he was out to talk his way into professional contracts. So he'd just be like, I'm mates with Gaucho. Like, I'm also pretty sick of football. Let me buy you a beer, brother. We'll go for oysters on the balcony. Yeah, give me a contract.
Let me show you how many keepy ups I can do.
Yeah.
Give me three chances.
And he's like, and what position do you play? And he's like,
don't say it. Oh, my God.
So he earned deals with the likes of Botafogo, Flamengo, and Fluminense, but he never intended to play. Like, that's the thing. He was a professional, but he never really cared about playing, nor did he want to.
Did he train with the team?
Yes, he did. So here we go. This is where it relates to Alex's story. The closest he ever came to playing was a match against a team called Curitiba. So Kaiser, he'd been partying the night before, six beers, oysters on the balcony. He was asked to come on because his team was down. And so he was told to warm up. He goes, all right. And instead of, like, doing stretches, he hops over the fence and starts fighting the opposition fans, earning him a red card before he's even subbed on the field.
Wow.
So that is less than a minute.
And so he's like, is he worried about being found out, or is he just, like, allergic to playing? Like, is he that bad that it's going to be embarrassing?
The thing is, he's just a guy who loves partying, he loves money, he loves chicks, and what's the best way to get all of that stuff? Earning money and status as a professional footballer, and he's also not that good, but he's apparently one of the most charming men in the world.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you were like, he started warming up on the sidelines by having sex with over 1,000 women. That's crazy. I also saw Drew's eyes light up midway through that story, and I'm getting the feeling you're coming back to football.
I love this guy.
So you're like fighting people? I don't know.
Unbelievable. So basically, he's sent off before the game, right? The owner, he's this guy called Castor De Andrade. He comes to the dressing room after the game, and all of Kaiser's teammates are like, he's fucked. Like, the jig is up. He's going to be fired. But Kaiser, the charming man, he has a plan. So he tells, as he says it, Castor De Andrade comes into the changing room. He comes up to me, and I say, God has taken both my parents away, but gave me another father, implying that his other father is Castor De Andrade. And he heard the fans calling him a crook, so I leapt over the fence to defend your honor.
Oh, man.
And started fighting all the fans. And he said, but don't worry, my contract is up in a week, and then I'll be off. Because he's just like, yeah. Have been found out. But instead, the owner calls up the supervisor of the team, and they doubled his pay and extended his contract for 6 months.
Unreal.
Fuck yeah.
So he earns this guy's trust because Castor, not just a football club owner, he's the renowned king of the illegal gambling underworld in Rio de Janeiro. He's a gun-wielding gangster who's like feared all over Brazil. So at other points in Kaiser's career, he faked injuries and he feigned a lack of match practice in order to not have to play. Without the technology of today, he was able to repeatedly get away with it. A notorious ladies' man, Kaiser would often pretend to be his illustrious teammates when trying to seduce women at clubs. He pretended to be his fellow friend and Brazilian international superstar Gaucho. And he would go up to women at clubs and show them videos and be like, that's me.
And I've done that with Michael McIntyre. Rudy Hill, RSL. They were none the wiser, let's just say that.
And so he would say, every night I would be in nightclubs until the early hours of the morning from Monday to Monday. In fact, I was never in a fit state to train or play in the morning. I made sure I was seen with the greatest Brazilian footballers. Just being a football player made me a magnet to women. I was addicted to sex, like Michael Douglas. Yeah, way to bring his name into it as well. He said, I would sleep with at least three women a day. And he was also like, everyone fucking loved him as well. So like the, you know, because I feel like if you're a professional footballer and this guy is earning money and coasting, that would sometimes cause resentment and people be like, well, this guy sucks in training. Mm-hmm. Why do we have him on? But apparently everyone in Brazil loved him.
the interesting thing is what you've just described there is like, they're like, oh, he's a fraud. He's not a real athlete. Like, this guy's getting 3 workouts in a day. Yeah. I guarantee you in the Brazilian second division, he's probably working the hardest.
That's 3 2-minute cardio sessions a day.
Nice. Do you have a nice sound effect for the podcast?
Man, we should get that. Yeah. We can isolate
wait,
that.
Wait, wait, isolate it. Wait.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, there you go. Beautiful.
First and only entry to the soundboard.
I really appreciate it.
So, Bebeto, who's a famous Brazilian striker, he said that his chat was so good that if you let him open his... So Bebeto is Billy Darcy in this case. He was like, mate, his chat was so good. If you let him open his mouth, you'd get around it. He'd say he'd charm you. You couldn't avoid it. That would be it. And they also said he was like hilariously shit on the training.
I love
pitch.
How like, his FIFA card is like tackle 0-0 chat 100. Like, it's
so good. So top trump. I'm yeah, like, yeah. I do have an ace in the hole. Yeah. I will say.
So one of like a famous football training exercise, I guess. What would you call it? Like piggy in the middle.
Rondos.
Rondos, where someone's in the middle and you pass around and he tries to get the ball. They would just like have him be the tackler and laugh as he like was pissed and like labored to like chase after the ball where they were. So they're just regarded as like a bit of fun.
I will say as well, in Brazil, like there are stories about some of the greatest footballers to ever play living almost that exact same lifestyle, like Ronaldinho,
yeah,
like Ronaldo, like basically all the stories you articulated there, that was kind of like entry level to get into the Brazilian national side for like 10 years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like Ronaldinho was I think, like one of the most gifted footballers ever and has basically admitted that the sort of 3-year window of like his prime, he could not have treated his body like worse than he did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it just like unlocks like all the potential you got. Like Jamie and I grew up worshipping like Steven Gerrard. You know Stevie's leaving it all out there on the field. Nah. Like the extracurriculars, I can't imagine the Christmas parties would be anything other than like a couple of beers and then watch my own highlights. Like
that's
the Steven Gerrard Christmas party. Whereas like
that's the Drew Bensley Christmas party.
Oh my God.
It's like you hear about like apparently Phil Neville would just eat cauliflower and like broth, like the most like scientifically perfect because he had so little talent that he had to just extend every other angle to become a professional footballer, right? But like if you just did that for Ronaldinho or whatever, it would just be...
And Wayne Rooney was just on a podcast. I heard him talking about it and he goes like, it's so interesting when they're like, oh, you know, if I had my time again, I would do this differently. I'm like, you were a grown adult man then. Like, I actually don't think Wayne Rooney has got any smarter from the age of 24 to like 38 than he is right now.
No.
So I love like he's now as like the sage Wayne Rooney with like a red face and like a failed managerial career. He's like, now I have perspective.
Yeah.
I would have really like locked down and definitely not had a beer when that's clearly all I drink currently.
He finally is 40, just not looks 40, right? He's always looked like an old.
And then if you have so much natural freakish talent, then you can treat yourself like shit. Like Shane Warne famously bowled one of his best games ever after having a threesome till like 6 a.m. with 2 English chicks drinking piss and then showing up to the field. And
if
like,
that ever happened.
You didn't have to bring up they were English, mate. Come on. So he had sex with a couple of traitors? Is that what you're telling me?
But if you do that, then you're like, well then, you know, superstitiously, that's what I have to do every now. You're going to convince yourself that was the right thing
to do.
You
have to convince to others.
I got some more on this
guy. Nice.
So someone asked him, like, how'd you manage to get away with this for so long? Because 13 years, that's like almost an average professional playing career. Like 18 to your
30
early 30s.
So when you said the guy boosted his pay, was he a lifer with that club from
then? No, he moved on. Like after 6 months, like I think...
Dude, that's so cold. Like you said, like, you are like my father. I have defended your honor. And then 2 weeks later, he was like, actually, I met this bird out in Curitiba.
Never playing a single game and you're putting in a transfer request. You know?
Like, I'm testing the market. I'm going to take my talents over to the beach, I thought.
Yeah, so they asked him. They're like, how'd you get away with it for so long? And he was like, the players all knew I was kind of a fraud, but they were all my friends.
Mm.
And all the journalists, they loved me. So no one was ever out to, like, expose me. Like, it just didn't, like, even, like, people knew, but they loved me so much that they weren't like, we got to fucking scoop this guy.
Exactly. And if a journalist, like, came out with the big expose about Kaiser, it'd be like, yeah, congratulations, you just told all the children Santa Claus isn't real.
Yeah.
Like we all know, but like keep it going.
Yeah.
You know? He also said like at the time, like medical technology was not what it was in like club level. So there was no like MRI. So he'd just like lie to doctors. And there was a time where a team like was really trying to be like, come on, man, play a game. But he was like, but I had a friend who was a dentist. And the club president came and said, you never play. And he says, I have a note here. And they finally discovered why I'm always injured. It's a dental issue. Which also lies. Just he got his dentist to write him a note.
There's no way by the end he's like 9 years in, never played a game. Like, all right, this is a great bit. I got to keep this going. Do you know what I mean? Like, because it doesn't ruin his life to play a game. But once you've gone 10 years without playing a game.
Yeah, you want to keep the streak.
I will also say that retirement press conference would have been fucking electric.
Yeah.
He's just there like smoking a cigarette being like, it's been a hell of a ride.
Yeah. So, like, play the highlight reel. Just rooting a bunch of cheers.
I will remember.
Yeah, I left it all off the pitch.
And you'll never fuck alone. Read the threesomes.
He said like some clubs did try to coax him into playing. Be like, well,
some clubs are like a raccoon in,
under the desk.
Some,
you know?
Some clubs have the gall to request services in exchange for goods. And that's capitalism at its very worst, yeah, I think we got to say.
So at one point, he's at a club. They're like, come on, play. And he's like, I've got a big bruise on my leg. And he said they brought in a black magic priest to perform rituals on me so my bruise would heal. And they were paying this black magic priest, like, money. And
to start at center forward?
Yeah. And Kaiser goes up to him and goes, take your money, mate. There's nothing wrong with me. He just, like, straight up admits it. And he says, take your money. Don't bother doing your thing on me because I intend to stay injured for the rest of my life. Eventually, he retires. And a fun postscript I found from other articles. So he's used his fame to, like, party every night. He now works as a professional personal trainer, but exclusively for women.
Yeah.
He will not take on male clients.
Yeah. Beautiful.
What a career.
What a king.
Oh, Alex is already searching his website. Yeah.
I Googled him. I had a quick look. He's a strange looking cat.
There's a documentary on him that I think is on streaming called The Greatest Footballer to Never
You
Play.
Know I'm watching that shit like tonight.
Yeah, it's on Pornhub.
So. I love with social sports. I don't know if you guys have ever had this where you do where you get coaxed into or talked into doing like a workplace lunchtime, touch footy or soccer. I had a fucking.
Fred is the champion of this.
I've got a story. I'll cue it up.
I had an absolute shocker when I first moved to Sydney. I was working at I won't say where, but I was just working in an office doing data entry, like just bullshit. And the boss, like the manager of my area, comes up and he was like, you know, young, probably my age now. He's fairly young and he was just like fit guy and he's like, mate. We do a bit of a soccer thing at lunch if you ever want to join in. I was like, you know, I was new there, so I was like, yeah, of course, man, absolutely, let's do it. And he goes, all right, sweet, I'll hook you up with a jersey, full work team. And the team is taking on like people from other offices in Sydney, and it was all down at that park in Glebe. I think we had a kick around there once, whatever it is, Wentworth Park. And so, immediate red flag was he chucks this jersey down on my desk. And he's like, all right, mate, we'll leave here at 12. We'll walk down there. And I was like, yeah, no worries. I go into the bathroom. I throw this thing on. And it fit like a fucking 90. It hit my knees. Like,
was it a medium?
It was so big. And I was like, God damn it. So I'm like, I'm literally trying to tuck it in.
Get
some
respect here and just pull it up down through like a crop top.
I tucked it in. It came out the bottom of my shorts.
Oh my God.
Dude, you walked onto that pitch like Scrooge at a Christmas carol, dude.
This guy's stitching it up, surely.
And, the whole walk there, I was sort of being like, you know, it was soccer and I rarely played soccer. And he's like, someone was like, have you ever played before? And I was like, yeah, of course, man. I played at school and stuff, you know. Easy, don't
you? You heard of George Best?
And then this one guy was like, kept G'ing me up to everyone going, Drew's fucking unreal. And I was like, damn, maybe not go that far. And we're walking down there and I'm going, oh, man, this is fucking, I don't even barely know the rules, whatever. And I remember like, I was so fucking unfit. We were just getting trounced by these people. And I was like, I kept chasing to where the game was, like, because I didn't know anything about positions and I was so unfit that I was always like, 3 steps behind. So shit would be going on here. The ball would get kicked. Everyone would run and I'd still be over here because I was chasing like wherever the game was. I was just chasing everyone around.
So you were like lagging.
I was
like
lagging. It was ridiculous. And then at one point, just the most embarrassing thing, someone kicks the ball out and so we had to do a throw in.
Oh no.
And I happened to be the closest person. So they give me the ball to throw it in. And now I'm aware you're supposed to throw it overhead.
Oh, no, you didn't do a footy.
I did like a little kid bowl, like 10-pin bowling. I put it under my... like I rolled it along the ground. The referee was laughing at me. And he goes, no, you got to do that again. The whole team, both teams are laughing at me.
So you got to do it again. And Drew's like, all right. And then rolls it again a second time.
It was and then, of course, because I was not used to doing sport during work, we all come back. It's like an hour and a half later. And I had to, I was in the bathroom at work for like half an hour because I was so red and sweaty. And I didn't bring
rolling
a towel.
Toilet roll across the floor.
Dude, 100%. I had the paper towel to dry your hands. Literally dabbing like sweat off me. It was fucking awful. Never did it again.
Brutal. Did anyone ever say, you knew how to play football, mate?
Yeah, I think they were too embarrassed. Right? We were all just too embarrassed. I was just feigning injury for the rest of my life.
Hey, didn't read the rule book, did you, brother? Skipped a few pages, didn't you, mate? Unfortunately, we had a touch rugby game at lunch that's pretty consistent. We still play it sometimes at the job I'm at. And there was this girl, who worked at the company, who was very active, very fit. But she obviously hadn't played much.
Oh, I know this story.
I know. This is pretty brutal. Look, I don't come out smelling roses. You know? Okay, guys, this is one for the Patreon, you know? And so it had rained the day before, but everyone was going to play at lunch. That was kind of the deal. And she goes, do you reckon we should? Like, it rained yesterday. It'd be pretty slippy underfoot. And the managing director of the company is like, we're doing it. Like, it's pretty much mandated at this point. And so we walk out. And look, I wouldn't count. There are some guys there who play like pretty consistently. The guys in the warehouse are like zipping back and forth.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of out of position anyway, you know, similar to Drew out there. I'm chasing the game. She picks up the ball and you know what to do at touch. Like if someone who's inexperienced has the ball, kind of let him go for a bit and then just tap him.
Yeah.
The issue is she's running towards me. I kind of almost take a step back to be like, okay, I slip. I do what looks like a shoulder charge. She breaks her ankle. And honestly, like, my boss goes,
what looks like a shoulder charge.
My boss goes, I know you didn't mean it, but it looked like you saw her head down
and dropped
ran
it.
Over her like a fucking train. We work close to a hospital in St. Leonard's. Now, I'm not going to say who did this in case they listen to this, but someone at the company goes, I've seen a lot of injuries in my time. That ankle is not broken. She goes, it feels broken. I go, why don't we settle a bet, go to the hospital and check it out? He goes, honestly, waste of a trip.
It's not your ankle. Dude,
he goes, waste of a trip. We'll head back, put some ice on it, see where we stand.
See if you can stand.
Also, we work upstairs.
Oh, no.
So she's just in the lobby, like lying down.
No.
And after like 2 hours, he goes, let's revisit that hospital that we were throwing
let's
around.
It's VAR, this one, actually. Let's see the bunker says.
And she goes
He's going to the booth.
Not only does the trip to the hospital prove that she's broken her ankle, the doctors can't confirm she ever had an ankle to begin with. That's how it's. I've turned it into like a white powder. It's like people are snorting off the ground.
Was she
receptive to this? No.
No, I was going to say, did she say like, was she like, Freddie, I know it's an accident, or was she pretty cold with you after that?
She was not great around me, especially because I got her a card. I didn't realize.
Well, Fred, Fred gave her the cold shoulder first.
Again, not smelling of roses here, but I got a card from the IGA that I didn't really check it too much. It was actually for a family bereavement. Oh. I got
sorry
it.
For
like,
your
I'm
loss.
So sorry for your loss. No. It had like lavender on it.
Oh,
and
no.
Because this hasn't aged fantastically. But she was she still is originally from Colombia. Mm-hmm. And so I did write Lo siento mucho in this card.
What does that mean?
Very sorry. I'm very sorry in Spanish. And then I reiterated it in English just to sort of really bring the point home. But she was not able to like come in to work for like months. And then there was sort of an ongoing injury claim because it was on office time. So then the company kind of turned on me too.
Because
I'm costing them like a lot of money. So I will say 32-week ban, but I served it diligently. I'd like to apologize to everyone involved.
When I tell you,
like, the sandwich you made, I will never forget it. Like, people will bring it up now who weren't working at the company at the time, and I really hate that. I'm like, you can't, like, bandy this around like this is a funny thing that I did. Because people who were there know it was pretty traumatic. It was horrible.
Oh, no.
But at least I knew how to throw the ball in, you fucking loser.
May I ask, was
she in a wheelchair and did I push her in?
Did she... ever like act like you did do it on purpose, or was she aware that you slipped but was still mad that it happened?
Yeah, I think just wasn't thrilled that it happened. And also,
you must know that, yeah, she must know that you slipped because it is not tackle football. And you cleaned her up.
Yeah, but she knows I got that dog in me.
Were shouting before, win at all costs.
I was actually going, hoo, hoo, hoo.
Over her on the ground, you're like, hoo, hoo, hoo.
But it was also that thing of she had warned us about the slippery integrity of the ground, and then it had come back to hurt just her.
Yeah.
But you weren't the one who was like, we play on.
Yeah, no, we continue the game.
Yeah. But you're like, when she's on the ground crutching her ankle, you're like, typical South American on the ground. injury.
Mate, what are you, Carlos Kaiser? Play the game.
Freddie making the diving motion.
Unbelievable. But I would like to apologize. And, if someone asks, this is what we've learned. It's fine to play social sport, but within the workplace setting, steer clear.
Steer clear. Yeah,
do not do it.
Especially, like, because it's supposed to be touch, but on turf... Like, I feel like injuries must happen. Even if someone twists their ankle, there's
I got
hospitalized sort of
playing football with...
With us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, I do remember. I would like to hear your version of this story because I would like to think the concussion was so bad, I don't think you remember it.
Oh.
Well, Jamie just scored 9 goals, right?
Yeah.
He just scored 9 head kick.
I was on my 10th goal. No, I remember, like, the president. Because Donald Trump called me.
What is this?
The elbow.
And then you hit your head as well?
Yeah, I did hit my head as well. But, like,
you went straight into the fence, right?
Yeah. So there was just a metal fence, and I went up for a header that was going out for a corner kick, and I got it. But it didn't go anywhere. The header didn't go, like, towards goal. But then I collected myself on the fence and, like, split my elbow open and had, like, a fairly sizable lump on my head. And they were like, you should go to hospital. And I was like, nah, I think it'll be fine. And then someone was like, bend your elbow. And you could see the bone.
Yikes.
And then I went to hospital. I had to say that till, like, 1. And the guy's like, we'll get you cleaned up and gone. And then he, like, looked at it and did the thing where it's like, ooh, you're going to have to stay overnight here. And so, yeah, I stayed all the way till, like...
Did you mention we play Mondays and Thursdays?
Yeah, I did. I was like, the first thing I said to the doctor was like, when will I be back on the pitch, doc? And he was like, at least 4 or 5 weeks.
And so our friend Alan very kindly gave you a lift to the hospital, not knowing at that time that you'd be waiting for, like, hours. So did he stay with you?
No, he did not. I said, I'll take it.
Sick.
I said, nice. Alan, I'll take it from here. And I had a phone with, like, 10% battery. So I couldn't, like, look at anything because I was just messaging my wife to tell what was going on. And then I had to kind of put it away. So I sat in a waiting room watching ABC News 24 on mute with no subtitles for 5 hours.
Oh, and what was the top story? Your injury?
Yeah. It was like, when will he be back? 4 or 5 weeks. And then it asked what my favorite position was.
You could see the bone. It's just Drew on the TV like, whoa, he bent it and it was crazy. And then the next story was Drew's throw-in later that day. Like, now with sport, we got
more embarrassing.
Got to lighten the mood.
Okay, mate,
a wacky play.
Clearly someone else doesn't have a working elbow because he can't throw a ball from over his head. Unbelievable, mate.
Come on.
I got a couple of little stories because I love – because the UK, like, the what blows my mind is – well, I guess the UK, I don't know if it's –
about Sunday League?
Yeah, I mean, general. Like, what do you mean by that?
Well, Sunday League is, like, pretty big in the UK. It's like
– You're talking about church, right?
Yeah. Where all English people go in and pray to God. No, Sunday League is, like – a level below professional, right. But it takes place on Sunday, and it's like people call it like the. If you go on Twitter and like look up Sunday League, you will see some of the greatest videos you have ever seen of like people dribbling past like five people, and you're like, oh, this is a skill video, and then a guy will like fly kick the guy dribbling.
Yeah, sick. But there, I love how there's like there's I don't know if that Sunday League like just morphs into the football pyramid, or there's like a because you know the football pyramid starts so low that it's like. There's no fans there, right?
Yep.
It's like 15 levels down. But there's just different levels of, I guess, how serious people treat it. But there was just a funny article that I saw about a community-owned football club called Camden and Islington United because it's like they seem like a proper community football club and all this. And eventually, I guess, you just go up against less serious teams.
Yeah.
And they decided to boycott their Sunday Wembley Cup semi-final after finding out their opponent's name. Their opponents, which were called MHFC, their official name, it actually stood for the Munter Hunters FC. So these fucking dorks have started Munter Hunters FC, and they got to this level of this cup where these real serious community teams like, we're not playing Munter Hunters.
Sounds like something a Munter would say.
You're about to get hunted.
Yeah, I was going to say, mate. Bad matchup.
And I'm like, maybe Munter Hunter means something other than maybe what we think. But this article says Munter is a word, you know, derogatory term for ugly people, often used against women. Da, da, da. And it's like, if there's any disagreement about these fellas and what they're, I guess, what they're up to, this is their Twitter page. And they've got, their logo is the Pornhub logo. And it says, Munt Hub as their icon.
Or as I call it, this podcast. Am I right?
These are all down teams the barrel. That Drew would fit in as well.
Yeah. And then this other very interesting league that I found, which is...
Founded.
Now, it sounds like I'm saying this wrong, but I've looked up pronunciation. But, you know, there's a little aisles and stuff off Cornwall. What's the...
Isle of Man, Isle of Wight.
Yeah. Isle of that, all that stuff. But the Isle of Scilly...
Mm.
You guys know the Isles of Scilly? Yeah. Okay, so it's a real thing.
The Scilly Isles.
The Scilly Isles. It sounds like it's a faulty Fred, tower.
It's where me and Fred did clown college together.
But it's a group of tiny little islands down sort of a couple of 100K off the coast of England. And basically the Isle of Scilly Football League, in the 20s it was started as the Inter Island Cup. There's sort of four or five little mini islands there. St. Mary's, Tresco, St. Martin's, Briar, St. Agnes. By the 1950s, all the clubs had folded except for two. So the Isle of Scilly Football League has two teams in it.
Oh, sick.
And that's it. One division, two teams. And so they...
Who are we playing this week?
They play each other 22 times a year.
That's so good.
The league competition.
The Munters play the Hunters.
So the league competition involves the Woolpack Wanderers and the Garrison Gunners play each other between 14 and 20 times, often on a Sunday. There also exist two cup competitions, the Wool Sailors Cup and the Fordeck Cup, where they just play each other over two legs through the year. And there's also a special Boxing Day match, the Old Men versus the Youngsters, which plays every year. And the season also starts with a charity shield between these two clubs.
So can I ask, I don't know if you can look this up rapidly, but has someone ever... transferred from one club to the other?
Very interesting, because I was thinking similar things reading it, and basically I'll get to that part. But here we go. So all the games are played on the same field at St. Mary's. So they're an Inter Milan situation where they share the same stadium. Right? But this is great, Fred, to answer your question. Team lineups change at the start of every season. They are decided at the local pub before the first game, where footballers of the island appoint two captains who select the players one at a time.
Oh, so it's like old school picking. Yeah,
you have the two captains and you have vice captains, and you write the names down on a sheet of paper in positions, and you flip a coin and take turns picking the better players. Very interestingly, they do it on the side, and they don't tell the worst player that got picked last, which is quite nice.
Oh, that's nice. Mm.
So they do this every year, and then there's some fun things. So the Garrison Gunners, 20 titles. Woolpack Wanderers, 15 titles. But the Woolpack Wanderers won the last three, so they're coming back. Due to the league's nature, so there's 1,000 people on this island, right?
Yeah.
But due to the league's nature, on-duty firemen and policemen play often, and they have to leave the field a lot of times in case of an emergency. So if there's a fire at a house and the fucking goalie has to leave, you know?
That's sick.
And there's some great banter. Fred, all of this. It's considered a bit ridiculous, and, you know, we get some of the... when you're up a couple of goals to nil, couple of chants shouting around the stadium, you know, can we play you every week? Can we play you every week? Which was great. So Will Lethbridge has played for several years, and changing the sides each year mean most players have no special affinity to one of the teams, although some superstitious stalwarts who claim to perform better for one team rather than the other. Wanderers have tended to be a fair bit better, but that's ultimately down to who the captains pick. This year, one of the first picks for the Gunners was expected to be here all winter, and then ended up getting a job in the Swiss Alps, so they lost their marquee signing, so to speak. So guy just got a promotion and had to leave. And there's a guy called Dave Mumford, or Chuffer, as he's called, and he's a farmer, and he's a good player, apparently. And a few years ago, at halftime, his phone started going off, and someone said, "Oi, Chuffer, your cows have escaped." So he had to run off and find them. We were up 2-0 at that point, and we had gone down to 10 men, so we ended up losing 3-2. And in the end, it turned out they weren't even his cows. So
yeah, his cows were playing for the Gunners. Yeah,
which is great. You're down 2-0 and your manager's like, "Hey, Chuffer, fucking..."
I would love to live on one of those weird little islands where it's 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Like shit's decided at the pub.
But wouldn't you say that is what the Sydney comedy football game was for a year and a half?
Yeah, true.
We were all playing different teams.
Yeah.
There were only certain battle lines drawn where you'd always have certain people had to be on opposite teams.
Yes.
And the Drew Jack Wright beef
will
stand the test of time as one of the more hostile rivalries I have ever seen.
Well, that's... I don't even know where it started, but that was one of the times where I was because it's
I think I know sport. Where it started. You did the George Best spin move past him and then bragged about it, right?
Yeah, probably talked a lot of shit directly in his face.
Yeah, you were a talker out there, mate.
But with social sport in general, I don't want to exert, I don't want to have a bad time. So if I'm fully exerting till I'm puffed, I'm what am I doing? It's supposed to be fun. But that one where me and Jack had was on for that game, I was going harder than I've ever gone in anything.
Because
putting 110% in.
For context, has Jack been on this podcast?
Yeah.
Many times.
Right. So maybe the listeners will have got the sense from Jack that he is not a particularly good winner or loser.
No.
The level of shithousery of this man. I've never seen someone so permanently offside in my entire life. He just stands by the opponent goal. And then we're friends with Jack. We've known him for years. But if he scores on you, he'd be "Take that, you little cat."
Yeah. He flips you up in your face.
Jack will be 40 yards offside on a 60-yard pitch, score a goal and still celebrate like he scored the winner in the UEFA Champions League final.
And he's the only, he gets away with it as well, where I did kind of love it. Everyone sort of rolls their eyes, but I don't think anyone else in my life could get away with what he was doing.
I remember,
and then that one time when Bensie just decided to take a stand, it was so funny. Where they're kicking each other's shins. When it's the problem child, we finally found a babysitter who can who can make it work.
I think that game, I remember there was one point where me and Jack had a fucking pretty heavy collision, but I think that was one of the games where Sam Cambo rocked up, and he was just "Are they always
this?" It was pretty crazy, because Sam made our bibs for our team, and Jack was ripping them off to his fingers. Also, can we talk about the Celtic jersey? Your immediate connection to I've started playing a bit of football.
Uh-huh.
God. I feel for your wife so badly in this period where it's the TV's just taken up with documentaries.
Yep.
You're on fucking websites ordering every shirt.
VinceJerseys.com, I believe.
Showed up in a beautiful Celtic
still got it.
Jersey. Well, yeah, of course. I mean, you've not sweated in it in 2 years. I'm sure it's clean. And then the immediate thing, we had the first after the first season, if you will, of us playing a lot. Mm. We met up for, was it one of the Euro games?
One of the England games. End of season awards.
Mm.
And we got just silly gifts, joke awards to hand out to people in the team. And for Drew, I don't know, it was for hardest try or whatever bullshit we were trying to spin for you. And we got him one of those little balls on a string.
Yeah.
Bit of fun, everyone's laughing, whatever, it's all good. A week later, I see Benzie, and he comes up to me and he goes, "Honestly, mate, changed my life."
It was fun.
That was so good. That
thing again, it's like Anna, it's like, you haven't spoken to me in weeks.
He's doing keepsy upsies.
He was like, I could do over 100. It's like, the ball is on a string.
The other big rivalry that I love was the Alan George rivalry.
Oh, that one.
The Delaney, because the most love lovely, just docile, sweetest gentleman ever. Also very good friends.
Mm.
And then the moment you put them on opposite teams, they're kicking each other shit. They're just like,
so they grew up together. And Alan is like a tall, slender man, and George is very small. So already it looks kind of like an unlikely animal friendship. Yeah, like just when they're sort of, when they're having a beer together, it looks a little odd, let alone when they're on opposite teams. And again, if Jack is the captain of the shithouse ship, George is a very decorated vice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's like in the bird's eye, whatever. So he's a shin kicker, the whole bit. And I remember there was just one time where, like, at the end of the game, we just dap each other up, like, make whatever a line, be like, well played, whatever. And they're still tussling with each other. Yeah. The game's still going on. They're still, like, trying to take the ball off each other. Meanwhile, like, seven Brazilian guys have their, like, hands on the fence, be like, get out.
This little fox.
We've got to come back. I've heard rumors of an all-star game bubbling, right?
Yeah, there might be an old-school all-star game in the making.
Wow.
But I mean, this is now admin for a football game.
Would you have heard of any of these all-star
rumors? You're still 27 weeks into your ban, so.
We'll let you know if you can buy tickets to watch.
I got a couple of very small stories. This one, there's a guy called Carlos Cuquin Flores, who is known as the Peruvian Maradona.
Mm-hmm.
Never kind of made it. Sadly, succumbed to kind of the same issues Maradona did. He died in his 40s because he was addicted to cocaine. Mm-hmm. But in his heyday, he was actually a very good professional footballer. But like some of the other maestros, was ruled by his vices. And there's a headline that, where he claims he was chased by a ghost. So a footballer claims he was chased by a ghost. If you ask a policeman about the excuses people use, they would probably tell you that they've heard them all. But a Peruvian footballer looks like he might have come up with a completely new one. Carlos Cuquin Flores, a midfield star with Intigas Deportes, told police he was being chased by a ghost when he was stopped for running naked through the streets. Flores, who in the past has admitted to having issues with cocaine, eventually admitted that he had been engaging with dirty ladies and that he came up with the ghost line to try and hide the truth from his wife. Flores said, "I didn't want my wife to be suspicious about ladies, so I just told her it was a ghost." Wait for the next sentence. "She failed to believe me." The midfielder also denied the incident had anything to do with his previous cocaine problems. He added, "This was nothing like that. I just had a bad day."
Aww.
But I found one more article that's quite interesting. Have you guys heard of Roberto Carlos? Mm. One of the most famous Brazilian left backs of all time.
One of the greats.
He showed up in England and played a Sunday League semi-professional game once.
Wow.
He played for Shrewsbury Sunday League side Bull in the Barn United in March 2022. So this was like long after he retired. Basically, the backstory is that there was a dream transfer raffle on eBay. And so this software engineer guy called Liam Turrell, he convinced the player manager, Ed Speller, to put in, just because it was a raffle, he was like, put in a £5 bid. Like, we might get Roberto Carlos.
Mm.
And they won. And so they were picked at random. And so everyone comes to watch Bull and Barn in Shrewsbury on a Sunday to see Roberto Carlos play proper Sunday League football.
Wow. How'd it go?
And so they took on a team called the Hull Scott Rangers from the same league in a friendly fixture, and it was apparently a record crowd. And Chris Camara, the famous ex-player and commentator, was there to commentate on the action. And so Carlos, he did show up. He shows up. And
be a pretty bad story to tell, James. And he wasn't there.
He was a ghost this whole time.
He shows up. He is... Obviously, Roberto Carlos is not in the same shape he was as a footballer.
Rude.
He pulls on the jersey and it comes to kickoff, but he is not in the starting lineup. He is on the bench. But
imagine being the left back for that team. On the line. It was like, fuck, I better be perfect.
So the report is eventually Carlos comes on in the second half and he gets a huge standing ovation. And then he is... shit. His fitness level is not anywhere near as sharp as his playing days. He spent a lot of time just walking around. A load of rookies who play for fun weren't exactly going to give him a rollicking, but Carlos gave away the ball every time he got it. After halftime had been and gone, oh, sorry, he was brought on in the first half. The two teams emerged from the tunnel, but Carlos didn't come back out. It was then communicated to staff that he was in the changing room getting a massage. But Carlos did get to have a special moment. In the second half, a penalty was given, so they brought Carlos back on to take the penalty, and he went on and scored it. The team he played for lost 4-3, but everyone was happy to see Roberto Carlos, and Roberto Carlos presented the Man of the Match trophy to another player, not himself, obviously. He took selfies, and then he conducted a bunch of interviews with people, and he, yeah, he was awesome, apparently. He
How
loved
old was
it.
He?
What, he was 42.
That's
and then he
not that old but, to be the worst player.
Also, I don't know if you've seen Roberto Carlos at 42, but he looks like a lot of slightly overweight bald men in the world. I'm starting to think this was not him.
I feel like this was a bit of a...
It was him, definitely. And they also coaxed him to the other grand Sunday League tradition.
Yep.
Having a beer after the game.
No.
And so he went to the...
He really twisted his arm on that one, didn't
he? Yeah, he went to a pub, and there's a video of him having beers with the team while he's FaceTiming famous Real Madrid defender Sergio Ramos.
That's sick.
And the video apparently went viral.
Brother, come to Shrewsbury!
Yeah.
He's got a bit of a, like, a new metal beard going on. Like,
yeah, he does.
Oh, nice.
He can slot right in as bassist for Incubus.
Absolutely.
We know what Drew's next look is going to be like.
I've been looking at photos of hands just like, man, hey, do we have...
Carlos gone too soon.
Hand just being like, man, our YouTube history is all just Roberto Carlos beard videos.
Roberto Carlos beard tutorial. It's like an hour long.
Do we have anything else to add about social sports?
No.
I just want you boys back out there, you know. It's been a long time.
I would love to play.
I got to break the dark. It's funny because it's hard to time your comeback. You know what I mean? You need like the right game.
Well, this also is the other thing that drives me up the wall with Drew, where he goes, I don't know if I'll ever get back to that level that I was at when I first did. I go, how good did you think you were? He was like, mate, if I don't want to come back and suck. I go, I had to break it to you, but that would be an improvement.
I'm not sure if you remember, but when Drew was playing every week, after he'd have like a few beers, he would be like, I am in like the top few of the team.
Oh, well, that was the thing is, Jamie and Drew, you get a few beers and they'd be like, okay, starting 11.
Yeah, the amount of starting 11 chat after the game. Yeah. Oh my
you
god!
Just see you just see your wife's headbutting the table, like, oh god.
Well, look, I don't say this lightly.
Well, joke's on you because my wife refused to come to this.
I do not say this lightly, Fred, but I will be back. I guarantee.
You do say that. You say that every single time.
You said that in your wedding vows.
I'm actually on the comeback trail. I've started exercising again. I'm nice. Working my way back to it.
And your daughter also. I'm very invested in becoming a professional. At some point.
She's
so you've got to
be
training her as well.
Yes.
You maybe can you maybe lend that ball on a string? No, it's mine.
That'll be one where
get
like
your own.
You know, when she's four and dad's coached the soccer team, I'm like, I'm bringing in a special guest coach, Freddie McManus.
Unbelievable.
And he'll just yell press at them for 60 minutes.
Also, now I know you can get Roberto Carlos for $5. I'm going to be on that eBay real quick.
Anything you want to plug, Fred? That you got shows?
Oh yeah, mate, I am. I'm touring the country, and by that I mean I will be in Melbourne and then back here in Sydney. It's a hell of a tour. But yeah, I'm in Melbourne from the 27th of March to the 6th of
What's
April.
What's your show called?
It's called Remind Me Later. So you can follow me on Freddie McManus on the talk on the Instagram.
And
it's
you're generating a lot of videos.
Oh, mate, I'll be generating content left and right. Put it this way, my phone camera has been on this whole time, so look forward to see what I edit out of that. And then I'm in Sydney May 18th and 19th, so yeah,
check
you can
it
follow
out.
Me on social
and
media.
And you're at Catfish, yeah?
Yes, I'm at the Catfish in
If you didn't know, it was nominated for Best Newcomer at Melbourne Comedy Festival last year.
And at football as well.
Yes, so this year he's gone straight to the top for Best Show.
Go check Fred out. Buy my tickets for me as well, 5th to the 20th. And also Patreon, right?
Yeah. Yes, $5 a month gets you 2 bonus episodes a month. And we don't mean to oversell this, but
Oh, does Fred know about
April?
Our,
yes.
You'll love this.
And Fred will know.
Speaking of Jack.
That in late April, we are having Jack Wright on the Patreon to do the oyster challenge. Jack thinks he can eat 100 oysters in 10 minutes. We are going to try and get him to do 60 oysters in 60 minutes and see what happens.
He's like mad that we
He has called us idiots to our faces at Drew's wedding.
Because we will not buy enough oysters and it will be over in 5 minutes.
He's like,
it's outrageous.
He's like, what are we going to do for the rest of the podcast once I've eaten all the oysters?
This is going to be so much. So speaking of shit, and he's going to be
eating
them,
flipping the
world. Aren't they like an aphrodisiac? Is he going to be humping the chair?
How many oysters do you think? We should take bets with, I guess. How many oysters do you think Jack can eat in 60 minutes?
Yeah, it should be a 60-minute limit.
I've seen Jack eat oysters, and he eats the casing as well.
All right, now I feel less confident.
He swallows them whole. He's inhaling these things.
Yeah.
I think all, like knowing Jack.
I think he'll spew.
I think he'll spew, but I also think he'll take, any party I've been to with Jack is any indication, he'll also take 4 showers throughout the duration of the oyster thing. I was a New Year's Eve party with Jack Wright, where he used, I will say this, I'm not exaggerating, he used all of the host's towels. He used them all. 4 showers, and then once one was just a sweat in. It was so gross. He was like dancing around.
Dude, he sweat through all of my towels in the spare
room. Oh my God, he did it to you as well.
The night before.
On Oyster Day.
Oh, that was the
night. It was the night before. It was the 30th of December.
And not only did he sweat through the towels, he sweated through the bath mat that was hanging over the shower.
Mate,
that
like, I will say, when is it? April? This Patreon episode? Yeah. Your water bill, mate. Fucking buckle up.
Well, here's the thing, Fred. He did. I was there at that thing. It was a New Year's Eve party. Sweated through 4 towels, had 5 showers, left the party at 11 p.m. He didn't even make it to midnight. He was so out of his mind.
At Drew's box, he disappeared for 2 hours and we found him in a bath. He'd been there for 45 minutes. He said, I'm pruning.
Also, I've got something else to plug. Jack will be doing a trial show for this oyster eating at Kelly's on a Wednesday.
The Sydney Fish Market.
He says he's going to do 40 in the trial.
Man. All right, beautiful stuff.
He's like, I got 20. I'm going to stretch it to 40 with some crowd work.
All right. We'll see you next everybody. Week. Thanks, everybody. Back.
Bye. Yeah.